Blog Talk Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Upload Life, living in the Upload Life, and this is how we will begin.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Thank you so very much, Sister Martha Nala Williams. And the music in the background is from our brother Wilmore Siddiqui. Bismillah Man and Ahim. We're going to start off with a bulletin from the AARP. The EEOC targets online age bias. The federal agency in charge of enforcing law against age discrimination in the workplace promised to take aim at digital programs that sift through job applications and all too often discard the resume of older workers. The U.S. U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission says that for the next 5 fiscal years, it will focus on automation used to recruit applicants or make or assist hiring decisions and its potential to discriminate. We will continue to educate employers on the potential for unlawful bias so that these systems do not become high-tech pathways to discrimination. The EEOC chairman, Charlotte A. Burrell, said, "The potential for automated hiring processes to weed out older Americans has been a concern for AARP and other advocacy groups since that technology became widespread. The digital programs can easily find clues in an application that indicates a worker's age and eliminate older job seekers. I know this for a fact to be true. I put an application on a few job sites, and I've never gotten called, And I have excellent customer service ability because I worked for the United States Postal Service for 35 years in customer service. I also have a bachelor's degree and others. And they say that they looked at the application, but that's it. So I think that that's what is basically happening. And it happens through this new technology that we have that's called an algorithm. We've discussed this last week. I'm going to tell you what the definition is again. It's A-L, al, meaning the G-O-R, which is for the Gordian knot. And the Gordian knot is a complicated knot that has to be unwind, and then a rhythm. So it's the complicated knot that has to be unwind and as a rhythm, the patterns. So that's what the mind is. That's what the whenever you are doing something online, what they do is, you know, they go through what it is that you're searching, and when they will match what you're searching for up with other products. And so that's like an algorithm. So it will suggest other things to you. This is important because, again, we're talking about technology. We're talking about what's happening in 2023. The idea about, you know, like older people, as soon as they see the age on you, it's like, oh, no, you know, what they can do is they can eliminate that just on the basis of your age. They can also do that as far as race is concerned. They see, you know, what your race is, and, you know, they can program their hiring ability to search for race. Or they can they can look at your ability, well, I just want males. Or they can fix the algorithm, whereas I just want females. There are many ways that an algorithm can be fixed in a private chatbot type of situation. What we want to do today, we're discussing the upload life. And Muslims, it's very important for us to have some idea about what's going on in upload life, especially this program is particularly dedicated toward the pioneers who need to be educated and being made aware of what is going on in the future of our social circumstances here in the in the culture. We have to do this for the good of our children and our grandchildren so that we don't get lost in the sauce. So that, because what is actually happening also is that there's a big change that's going on as far as words are concerned. I just mentioned, you know, algorithm. Algorithm has become a normal word in the American culture. And if you don't know what an algorithm is, then it's like the question becomes, well, what is an algorithm? And so we don't have any idea about that. And we're going to discuss some of the other words that are actually going on in the technology. But right now what we want to do is we want to go over a 60-minute interview that was done by Scott Pelley a couple of weeks ago. And then we'll come back and have a further discussion about what's going on in the upload life.
We may look on our time as the moment civilization was transformed, as it was by fire, agriculture, and electricity. In 2023, we learned that a machine taught itself how to speak to humans like a peer, which is to say with creativity, truth, errors, and lies. The technology, known as a chatbot, is only one of the recent breakthroughs in artificial intelligence, machines that can teach themselves superhuman skills. In April, we explored what's coming next at Google, a leader in this new world. CEO Sundar Pichai told us AI will be as good or as evil as human nature allows. The revolution, he says, is coming faster than you know. Do you think society is prepared for what's coming?
You know, there are two ways I think about it. On one hand, I feel no, because, you know, the pace at which we can think and adapt as societal institutions compared to the pace at which the technology is evolving, there seems to be a mismatch. On the other hand, compared to any other technology, I've seen more people worried about it earlier in its life cycle. So I feel optimistic. The number of people, you know, who have started worrying about the implications, and hence the conversations are starting in a serious way as well.
Our conversations with 50-year-old Sundar Pichai started at Google's new campus in Mountain View, California. It runs on 40% solar power and collects more water than it uses. High tech that Pichai couldn't have imagined growing up in India with no telephone at home.
We were on a waiting list to get a rotary phone and for about 5 years. And it finally came home. I can still recall it vividly. It changed our lives. To me, it was the first moment I understood the power of what getting access to technology meant. So probably led me to be doing what I'm doing today.
What he's doing since 2019 is leading both Google and its parent company, Alphabet, valued at $1.5 trillion. Worldwide, Google runs 90% of internet searches and 70% of smartphones.
We're really excited about it.
But its dominance was attacked this past February when Microsoft linked its search engine to a chatbot. In a race for AI dominance, in March, Google released its chatbot named Bard.
It's really here to help you brainstorm ideas, to generate content like a speech or a blog post or an email.
We were introduced to Bard by Google Vice President Sissy Hsiao and Senior Vice President James Manyika.
Here's Bard. And
the first thing we learned was that Bard does not look for answers on the internet like Google search does.
So I wanted to get inspiration from some of the best speeches in the world.
Bard's replies come from a self-contained program that was mostly self-taught. Our experience was unsettling.
Confounding. Absolutely confounding.
Bard appeared to possess the sum of human knowledge. With microchips more than 100,000 times faster than the human brain. We asked Bard to summarize the New Testament. It did in 5 seconds and 17 words.
In Latin.
We asked for it in Latin. That took another 4 seconds. Then we played with a famous 6-word short story often attributed to Hemingway.
For sale, baby shoes, never worn.
Wow.
The only prompt we gave was finish this story. In 5 seconds.
Holy cow. The shoes were a gift from my wife, but we never had a baby. They were...
From the 6-word prompt, Bard created a deeply human tale with characters it invented, including a man whose wife could not conceive and a stranger grieving after a miscarriage and longing for closure.
I am rarely speechless. I don't know what to make of this. Give me...
We asked for the story in verse. In 5 seconds, there was a poem written by a machine with breathtaking insight into the mystery of faith. Bard wrote, "She knew her baby's soul would always be alive." The humanity, at superhuman speed, was a shock.
How is this possible? James Manyika told us that over several months, Bard read most everything on the Internet and created a model of what language looks like. Rather than search, its answers come from this language model.
So, for example, if I said to you, Scott, peanut butter and?
Jelly.
Right. So it tries and learns to predict, okay, so peanut butter usually is followed by jelly. It tries to predict the most probable next words based on everything it's learned. So it's not going out to find stuff. It's just predicting the next word.
But it doesn't feel like that. We asked Bard why it helps people, and it replied, quote, because it makes me happy. Bard, to my eye, appears to be.
Yes, Bard appears. That's an important word. Bard appears to be human. To understand what's actually going on as far as, Bard appearing to be human, it has everything to do with the amount of information that has basically been generated by human beings and put onto a computer worldwide. So there is worldwide information available in text form that human beings have put onto a computer that is linked all over the world through www, the World Wide Web. And we can access that through our computers. Now, most of us don't need all that information. We don't need it, but it's available. That's the thing. We don't need it, but it's available. So what is the fear? The fear as human beings. The fear is, and especially when you see the way that it's being presented, it's being presented as if you're not going to be in control, basically. That's basically what it's, it sounds like. There's so much information. You're not going to be in control. These computers are so smart that they can outsmart you, human being. They can outsmart you. Well, that's not necessarily true. But I want to give you a definition of, because I want you to understand the definitions. One of those definitions is a chat bot. So chat means, something that you're speaking to, and bot is like a robot. So you're speaking to a robot. You're speaking to a computer, okay? A definition that they have is that a computer program designed to simulate conversation with human users, especially over the Internet. So what we're talking about, a computer program that's able to simulate, a computer program that's able to imitate, a computer program that's able to duplicate, reproduce, mimic human, the human conversation. Okay? So it's able to imitate conversation, duplicate conversation, mimic conversation that's already available on the Internet. Because how did it get on the Internet? Because we as humans have been so involved as far as, typing things and, various subjects. And we put all of this stuff on our computers, and then we have shared it all over the world. So that's what the situation is that we're in. The other part is that you see when we talk about chatbot, okay, this is a new word that is coming up in the cultural language of not only America, but it's coming up in the cultural language around the world, chatbot. So chatbot is a made-up word. I mean, is this surprising that the human being is making up words? No, the human being has always made up words. So this is a new word, especially as far as technology, that's being used in the American culture 2023, and especially when we're talking about the upload line. So hopefully you have come to understand what a chatbot is. Hopefully you've come to understand what an algorithm is. an algorithm, what a chatbot is. And it has everything to do with language. The other fear that we as humans had, and I'm going to give you an example. At one time, we had to write everything by hand with a pencil and a paper and pen. And this was a very comfortable situation for human beings because we had, because it was concrete. It was something, it was material. It was something we can feel, touch, hold, that we could store. It was right there for us. We had total control over it. So here it is. The typewriter is invented. And the typewriter took away the writing from us. We didn't have to write with a pencil and paper now. We could actually type it. And then we would type it, but we would type it on paper. So then we still had control because we were controlling the machine that was typing the word. And then when we got finished typing, we still had a paper, something concrete, something material that we could hold on to. And then comes the computer. And the computer was similar to the typewriter because we could still use the type, we could still use the keypad. We could still see the words, but instead of having it on a paper, it was on the computer. And we had control of it because we had control of the computer. So it would just be stored on our computer. But then here comes the World Wide Web, WWW, World Wide Web. And now we're able to share with people that we would like to communicate with. It could be we could write our term papers on the computer and then send them into school. The other part that we could do, we could write a letter or we could write a message and send it to a telephone number to our friends, our family, associates. We could communicate with different businesses just by with our computer. We could, you know, communicate with them. But once we had sent that information, it was no longer in our control. It was gone. And, well, we might have saved it and said, well, you know, like I have a copy of it on my computer. But the thing is that it was no longer in our control. So for years, say a decade, and it's probably two decades, but let's just say a decade. Let's say for a decade, people have been typing information, texting, right? Texting is the same as typing. Texting information and putting it on the World Wide Web, okay, because these platforms have been established, like Google and Microsoft, and then companies go ahead and they get on Google or then Microsoft, these platforms, and they establish websites, and then we're able to communicate with the websites. And so we were able to, there's so much information that's been generated that we have no control over. So here it is. We went from having material possession to having put our information in an abstract form on the internet that we have no control over. And so what has happened now, we have computers, chatbots, that can access the information that has been done by studies and schools and things like that. And now these chatbots have access to this information, and now they can simulate, imitate, mimic what has been said. So we have this idea that says, you know, the example that is given in this program is peanut butter and then so the automatic is like peanut butter and jelly. It's like, okay, all right, yeah. So peanut butter and jelly, because most of the time, you know, like you say, finish this sentence, peanut butter and boom, you know, jelly, okay? Turkey and cheese. Turkey and blank sandwich. Turkey and cheese sandwich. You know? So now we have put so much text about turkey and cheese, about peanut butter and jelly and other ideas on the web that, you know, that we have computers now that are able to predict what it is that we're going to say. It's already being done. If you use text messages on your iPhone, the iPhone will can finish words for you. It can finish words for you. And in some cases, when you use Google or some other, they will finish sentences for you because they know they will. If you say, good morning, how are, and then it's going to be, how are you? That's just, you know, because that's been used so many times with the humans as far as text messaging that the computer has access to that. So it can automatically, okay, so how are, okay, he probably means how are you, you know, in a situation like that. So this is not something that we should be afraid of. That I think that's the question that we want to, I want you to understand. We should not be afraid of it. And we're going to go into another part of this interview as far as artificial intelligence with 60 Minutes that's done with Scott Perry. But, you know, it's one of the words that the other words that we want to be conscious of is that it says that, you know, they say that, you know, when the way that they have, the way that Scott Perry and the way that these machines operate and the way that they have presented this technology to us on this program, you know, and because we now have computers that are able to predict and able to write from all of the text information that we have put on the internet, that it feels, okay, and you hear what I'm using. I'm using the word feels, that we think that the computer feels like that the computer can feel. The computer cannot feel. That's called a sentient being, sentient. And the definition of sentient is able to perceive or feel things. Allah has created his creation to be sentient, okay, able to perceive or able to feel things. But computers, machines cannot. The only thing that they can do, again, is take the obvious or logical information and put words, sentences, documents together for us that have already been done on the internet. So, you know, that's very, very important. But, you know, for some people who don't understand what's going on as far as the technology, they will have this fear to say, oh, the machine, it can feel. No, it can't feel. Machines can't feel. They can only they can only respond to what is already available as far as information, the information that they have available to them, okay? So it may appear that they can feel, but the fact is that they can't. All right, because they understand, that, again, they understand the patterns that are going on. Well, we're halfway through the program, and so, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a time to play a PSA. This one is on Dr. Rashid and Imam Henry Hasib. All right, critical issues.
Peace be with you and welcome to Positive Solutions to Critical Issues, hosted by yours truly, Dr. Jamal Rashid and Instructor Henry Hasib. This program is sociologically as well as psychologically inclined, with Fitzer as its base. We examine the root seed to multiple effects that impact our holistic daily lives. So tune in each and every Thursday morning from 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. Thank you and have a pleasant day.
Oh, thank you so very much, Brother Henry Hasfeed, on Critical Issues. One of the ideas that this is not a new idea, okay? This is not a new idea. And I'm going to take this time right now to say that, remember, living in the upload life is a man-driven world, okay? It's man-driven. It's a human-driven, because women are, just as active, and women are just as creative in participating in the upload life. So it's a human-driven world. It's not a God-driven world, okay, the upload life. And living in the upload life. So when there's a great participation of being on the World Wide Web, especially with these social media platforms like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and there are so many more. There's so many social media programs. I mean, it's a lot. And our children are the ones that – our children and grandchildren are the ones that participate in it. So it's important for you as – or important for not you, but for us, for pioneers, to understand, have some idea about it, and to watch the responses that our children are having and our grandchildren are having to these technologies. Remember, as Muslims, we don't live in the upload life. We live in the natural life. We live in the organic life that Allah created. Why? Because that's where Allah made the human being to participate. Remember what Allah said, dwell thy in thy wife, and struggle for your existence on earth. That's what Allah said. And what the human being did, he went from the whole idea of being a hunter-gatherer, discovering fire, discovering the wheel, then becoming a farmer through agriculture. So all of these are evolutions of the human being and the relationship of the human to the earth. And so Allah didn't make us to be in the upload life. Allah made us to be in the organic life. So that's where Islam is lived. It's lived in the organic life. Okay? Now, the possibility exists. And people say, oh, yo, it's shaitan, it's this and that. Well, listen. The human being has always, I think that when we read the Quran, we've always seen that the human being has, always used materials that has been available to the human being, that if he could make, if he could get a benefit or profit from it, then that's what, he did, or that's what the human being did. I use the, word he and all the rest of that. And I'm, because that's the way that we are, because many of the things that were done by human beings has been done by he, that's been done by man. The man is being, designated as the hunter-gatherer from the very beginning, the conqueror of the world, the conqueror of his environment. It's not to say that the woman didn't do that, but in most cases, when you say in a historical context, the man has been the hunter-gatherer. The man has been the conqueror, and the woman has for that man in his conquering. Today, we live in America, and now, we have this thing now as far as, equality and equal rights, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so what we want to do is we want to move on to some other definitions that are in society right now, and we want to move on to these definitions because they are important social constructs. But before we do, let me play this second part of Artificial Intelligence with Scott Perry, 60 Minutes, to have a better understanding of so that we can get a more fuller understanding of the technology. Now, one of the things that's going to be mentioned is BARD, B-A-R-D, which would be a conversational artificial intelligence chatbot, okay? Like ChatGPT, Google BARD is a conversational chatbot that can generate text of all kinds. You can ask it any question as long as it doesn't violate its content policies. Now, these are free. These are going to be free, okay, the content policies. So you can't, there will be restrictions that Google will have and Microsoft will have on their chatbots. But there will be programs and chatbots that can be bought by companies that have that can take off restrictions. And they can, what they can do is they have control over the algorithms that go on as far as their company is concerned. And although Bard hasn't officially replaced Google Assistant, it is a far more powerful AI assistant. And so we continue with the second part of the 60-minute interview with Scott Pelley and Sundar Pichai.
James Manyika told us that over several months, Bard read most everything on the Internet and created a model of what language looks like. Rather than search, its answers come from this language model.
So, for example, if I said to you, Scott, peanut butter and?
Jelly.
Right. So it tries and learns to predict, okay, so peanut butter usually is followed by jelly. It tries to predict the most probable next words based on everything it's learned. So it's not going out to find stuff. It's just predicting the next word.
But it doesn't feel like that. We asked Bard why it helps people, and it replied, quote, because it makes me happy. Bard, to my eye, appears to be thinking, appears to be making judgments. That's not what's happening. These machines are not sentient. They are not aware of themselves.
They're not sentient. They're not aware of themselves. They can exhibit behaviors that look like that, because keep in mind, they've learned from us. We are sentient beings. We have beings that have feelings, emotions, ideas, thoughts, perspectives. We've reflected all that in books, in novels, in fiction. So when they learn from that, they build patterns from that. So it's no surprise to me that the exhibited behavior sometimes looks like maybe there's somebody behind it. There's nobody there. These are not sentient beings.
Zimbabwe-born, Oxford-educated James Manyika holds a new position at Google. His job is to think about how AI and humanity will best coexist.
AI has the potential to change many ways in which we've thought about society, about what we're able to do, the problems we can solve.
But AI itself will pose its own problems. Could Hemingway write a better short story? Maybe. But Bard can write a million before Hemingway could finish one. Imagine that level of automation across the economy. A lot of people can be replaced by this technology.
Yes, there are some job occupations that will start to decline over time. There are also new job categories that will grow over time. But the biggest change will be the jobs that will be changed. Something like more than two-thirds will have their definitions change. Not go away, but change. Because they're now being assisted by AI and by automation. So this is a profound change, which has implications for skills. How do we assist people build new skills, learn to work alongside machines, and how do these complement what people do today?
This is going to impact every product across every company, and so that's why I think it's a very, very profound technology, and so we are just in early days.
Every product in every company.
That's right. AI will impact everything. So, for example, you could be a radiologist. You know, if you think about 5 to 10 years from now, you're going to have an AI collaborator with you. It may triage. You come in the morning. Let's say you have 100 things to go through. It may say these are the most serious cases you need to look at first. Or when you're looking at something, it may pop up and say, you may have missed something important. Why wouldn't we? You know, why wouldn't we take advantage of a super-powered assistant to help you across everything you do? You may be a student trying to learn math or history, and, you know, you will have something helping you.
Yes, that will have something helping you. So basically, that's what the technology has, you know, come to. It's always about making an appeal to the human mind. We should always remember, as Muslims and as humans, period, that we are what you call sentient beings, that we live in a real world, and that even though you can participate, you can use your computer, you can use your phone, as you will see a whole lot of people do, that, you know, you'll be traveling on public transportation and everybody's looking at their phone. And when you see that, that means that people are into the upload life. But eventually they will have to come out and come back into the real world, because they're going to have to get off the bus. They're going to have – and I'm just using this as an example. So you want to get off the bus now. So you have to come out. Okay, you have to take your brain off of the phone, and then you have to be aware of the stop that the bus is getting ready to make, who's getting up to get off the bus with you. So now you have to perceive, and this is what sentient means, you have to perceive, well, my stop is coming up, there are people getting off, I have to stand in line behind other people. I just stepped on somebody's toe, and then you know that this person felt that, and so you have invaded their space, so you say, excuse me. Why? Because this is a person with feelings, and this is how you perceive in the world, and so you're dealing with humans. You're not on the upload life anymore. You're in the organic world. And so now you get off the bus, and now you have to be aware. You have to be aware of where you're walking, the humans that are in front of you, the humans on the side of you, okay? So you have to use your sense of sight and your sense of hearing, okay, to navigate. And that's what happens in the real world. So don't be afraid of the technology that's actually coming up, okay? It is something that is actually just done, you know, in social media, you know, in the upload light. That's what it is. And, you know, then, like I said, there are words that are being created, okay? There is a word that's called binary. And this current generation, these younger people, you will find that they are using the word binary. And binary is a mathematical term, actually. And it remains relating to or composed of involving two things. So testing the so-called binary or dual chemical weapons, relating to using, this is definition, relating to using or expressed in a system of numerical notation that has two rather than 10 as a basis. The binary system. Okay, so now what we're talking about, you'll find that people are using this word binary. It's a word that is coming into the culture, and it has to do with sex. Non-binary. They're saying that, you know, the human beings non-binary. The gender binary describes the inaccurate concept that gender is categorized into only two distinct forms, man and woman, male and female. So now what is being done is many gender expansive identities exist either because between or outside of this binary, such as gender fluid, gender queer, non-binary, or agender. So these are words that are being put into the American language. These are words that are being put into the culture that are particularly influencing our children and grandchildren, okay? Because they are being promoted. These words are being promoted in the culture. They are being promoted. And so when they start talking about non-binary, you're not, and then you'll be like, non-binary, what does that mean? So then you feel a little bit out of it. But this is the reason why these words are created, to take you out of it. It's designed to take the pioneer out of it. It's designed so that the pioneer cannot have influence over the children or grandchildren that the school has now taken over, all right, and is teaching these new words. So then when the child starts to talk to you and start to say, yeah, you know, like we've been, I've come to find out that, you know, like with response being binary, and you can be like, what? What is binary? The other one is this idea of cis, C-I-S. So cis is being added to woman, cis woman, or cis man. That's C-I-S, cis woman, or cis man. This is a word that's being used, that's become popularized in the current generation, and that's being used in schools, and that's used in these young people, you know, not only in America, but especially in European culture. So it's when most people are assigned female at birth, but identify as girls or women, and most people who are assigned male at birth. Okay, you see what they say? So most people who are assigned with playing with language, most people who are assigned female at birth, okay, so identify as girls or women. And most people who are assigned male at birth. So in other words, this is what the doctor assigned you. He gave you that. Not that Allah gave you that. Not that your Lord gave you that. Not that, like, you was, you know, factually born with that. Not that the concrete idea is that you were born female, or the concrete idea is that you were born male. But you have, you were assigned that at birth, but you don't have to accept that. You know, that's, so they say that this, that's a cis agenda. Okay, so it's a made-up word. So it's the same thing when we talk about transgender. When we talk about transgender, again, we're talking about, well, let me just say that when we say cis woman or cis man, it's identifying to the sexual organ. Cis man, cis woman, that's what it's identifying. But now when you say a transgender person, it's someone whose gender identity or gender expression does not correspond with the sex they were assigned to at birth. Ooh, man, these people can get deep, you know, as far as definition is concerned. They can get deep, okay? So now if we have young people now who are accepting this, a transgender person whose gender identity, you know, yeah, I know that I'm born with a male organ at birth, but I feel like a female inside. So, you know, I'm trans, you know, I'm not really a male. I'm a female inside. That's what I feel like. And I have a right to feel like that. And then the schools are like, yes, that's right. You know, like you have the right as an American, freedom of speech, you know, freedom of expression. That if you feel like that, you know, no matter what your mother and father say, but when you come to school, you can tell us how you feel, and we will respect that. I don't want to be called John. I want to be called Josie. I don't want to become Mary. I want to be called Martin. I want to be called Martin because I feel like a man inside. I don't feel like, yeah, I was born with a female genitalia when I was born, but I really feel like a male inside. So don't call. And I'm telling school, this is what they, yeah, whatever you want to be called, whatever you want to be called, well, call me Martin. Don't call me she. I reject that. Call me he. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. We have to respect your right the way that you feel inside. And so we're going to, so this is the circumstance and situation that we're in today. Yep, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, right, I did a lot of talking, but I got a couple of minutes left in the program. And if you have a question or comment that you would like to say, please press one on your phone and I will gladly bring you into the queue. I just pray a lot that, you know, some of the things that I've said has been helpful. Because that's what we want to do. We want to keep the pioneer aware and the Muslim, you know, aware of, you know, what's going on around them and how the human being is utilizing these advances in technology to, you know, just how to utilize them. The saving force, I will say that, I truly believe, and that we should believe, that the saving force is to stay strictly halal, you know, stay to the deen. The human being was created for the planet Earth. That's why Allah created us, and that we have a social, that we have to socialize, and the social media gives us the opportunity to socialize with each other on the World Wide Web. The true socialization takes place when we are in the organic world socializing with each other. And that is why, you know, we, that why the Juma prayer is really important, because the Juma prayer is an obligation for the Muslim to come together socially and make the prayer once a week. And it would be good if the Muslim made the prayer more than one, like in your home. If you know, when the prayer time is called, that all humans come, you know, that are in the house, come together, socialize, and make the prayer together. It's, you know, it's important that whole thing about, remember, the whole part about eating dinner together. That's a social circumstance that's a good thing to do within the family. When we were in the Nation of Islam, we had the FOI class. We had the MGT class because it was a social gathering. And we as Muslims need to continue with the social gathering of our Muslim community. That's really, really important. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a, because I got 6 minutes left, so I'm going to make sure that I play this. This is Community Development Stages with Martha Nowell.
Family, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Akbar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360. CWSC is inspired by the visionary leadership of the late Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahimahullah alayh, and his proposition that our communities need a studious group of persons, or an intelligentsia, studying our history and circumstances and envisioning a brighter future for succeeding generations to live better in America. In 1999, an important step was taken to fulfill the shared vision of structuring an intelligentsia with a national think tank capable of serving first our community and then eventually national and global interests. We welcome you to American Muslim 360 listenership. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And thank you so much, Sister Khalida Abdulaziz. Listen online at am360.org and 24-hour live streaming, 701-719-4197. Also, live audience call-in to the studio at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. You can email us at info@cwfc.us. Tweet on Twitter at CW Shura. That's CWSHURAA. Like us on Facebook. Community Wide Shura Conference is on Facebook. You can visit American Muslim 360's parent corporation, the Community Wide Shura Conference, at CWSC.us, or leave a listener comment. Important. Leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297. You're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio program station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected. Praise is due to Allah. I'd just like to take the time to say that tomorrow we're going to be, I will be back with you at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. I'm doing Living in the Upload Life. Living the lives of the prophets, right? And, you know, tomorrow we're going to start on Prophet Yusuf, which is the 12th prophet in line. Make sure you tune in for that, because this Prophet Yusuf is going to go for a couple of weeks. I'd also like to invite you to at 10 o'clock this morning, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., tune into A New Day for Al-Islam Community Radio, which is reviving the Quran and Sunnah with your host, Ibn Yaqub Islam. And, you know, that's going to be a great program. Usually starts off with, you know, Imam W. Dean Muhammad speaking, and then, you know, we get into some, you know, very deep conversations, and you can ask whatever question that you want to ask, because in truth be told, you know, we as Muslims, basically, we can answer any question, really. We're not afraid of any question that you might ask. You can ask the question about anything, and we feel confident as followers of Imam W.D. Muhammad, and especially, you know, here in the American circumstance, that we will be able to answer your question in a Muslim way. We can do that. All right, so, you know, like, I got a couple of minutes left, and so I just want to say I want to thank you, and I hope that it's something that we explained as far as the upload, like living in the life has affected you in a positive and constructive way. We have not said anything to, this is what's not our intention, to be disrespectful to any human being living in the United States or around the world. That was not our intention, but only to explain. So that's basically, you know, what we did. There's more to come. Stay up on the language, and if there's some words that you have that are being, you know, said to you in social media, or you're talking to somebody and they start using words, and you know, tell us about it. We'll get you an answer for it. But it's important, as pioneers, it's important that we stay on point and stay up to date as far as what's going on in the culture and what's going on in the upload life. And so until next week, you know, I say, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah continue to bestow his mercy on us.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, 24/7, Muslim-hosted. From religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM360, where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.